Blog Talk Radio.
As we resist, he must flee.
he will run, because we won't subscribe or ascribe to anything he's throwing out to us. We thank you for this time of rest. Kelsey, give your name all the praise and the honor and the glory for who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, brothers and sisters. Good to have you back again. Welcome to the Glory Mountain Shabbat Show, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network here on Blog Talk Radio. I had to play that song because every time I hear that song, it makes me think about the times when I didn't keep my father's statutes, laws, and commandments, but I just abused grace and constantly found myself running back to him because the world and sin was whooping my tail, trying to kill me, destroy me, and deceive me. You know, the Father gives us gifts and talents, and we forget that he gave them to us to glorify him, and the world tries to get us to sign a pact with them, or with Satan, and try and use what he's given us to entertain the masses for coins of silver and gold, to sell him out like Judas. By grace and mercy, many of you survived. When the Father's allowed you to survive, you ought to want to live for him, run back to him, and stay right there. Before I get into the message, it's good to be back with you on the Shabbat Show. We did a four-part series on Between the Testaments, talking about what happened between the Old Testament and New Testament, debunking the theory that God shut up the heavens and there was silence. And talking about Maccabees, books they tell you not to read, great information. But on the Sabbath, we like to get into the law. We like to get into the word. But most of all, we like to preach to you and encourage you. Because during this time of rest, you need to know that everything is going to be all right. And so we're back to preach to you, teach to you, encourage you, exhort you. A couple of things I want to cover today. I want to talk about this fleeing business. I want to talk about this grace, mercy, and the law. We definitely want to get into all those things. I want to see you make it. Today is not a show for me to talk about current events, so-called paranormal, so-called science, so-called politics. Today is a day to be in our Father's Word, because this is the day of worship, not Sunday. That's the first day of the week. Go ahead and assemble yourselves together. Go ahead and collect money, as they did next, to take care of the people. But this is the day of worship, where you don't do things to entertain yourself. You don't work. You don't trade money. You don't cook. You honor the Father. You don't run around hanging out with people. You reflect and relax and chill in his presence. And the best way I can think of to do that is to think of that, the lyrics to that song I just played. How can you forgive me when I've often gone astray? How can you think of me when I often did things my way, turning my back on you, the one who loved me first, having my own desires of renewing worldly thirst? You told me you loved me, and I couldn't make up my mind. But now I'm running back to you, and I see you standing there for me. His arms, the Most High, are open wide. Brothers and sisters, don't get caught up in this world. Don't let it wash you away. Because you don't know what to do on Friday night, you think you got to hit the club. Because you're bored, you think you got to get bombed and zonked. Because you're depressed, you got to run to medication. Because you think nobody loves you, you got to fall into adultery and fornication. Brothers and sisters, you can't have your wife and kids at home and you go to the Holiday Inn saying you out of town and go do your thing and think it's okay and abuse grace. God forbid we turn grace into lasciviousness, as the Bible says in the book Jude. People want to fight me because I want to live according to the law, and they think I'm abiding in works of righteousness, as the Word says. But it's not works of righteousness I'm abiding in. It's that when he says, if my people that are called by my name will turn from their sins, you must understand that to turn from your sins is not to do a 360-degree turn slowly where you walk away for a minute on Sunday, and by the time Monday comes, you're full face back right to where you started with a 360-degree. No, he's saying 180-degree angle. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. The turn is 180 degrees into something that you weren't doing, and to walk into the statutes, commandments, and the laws that separate you from the masses and sanctify you and cause you to be holy. But he asked us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to say, I'm not going to cheat on my spouse. I'm not going to sleep with another man's wife or husband. I'm not going to lust after the new house, the new car, the fattest watch, the biggest contract, the most money, the bling bling. I'm not going to put up a gods before the Most High. And God can be a whole lot of other things we worship. I'm not going to look at an image and worship an image of stone or wood. I'm not going to look at a cross and cling to a cross or some beads, a bow to a rock. Deuteronomy told us that we'd be worshiping gods of wood and stone as we went into our captivity, and that's just what we're doing. We forgot that we are not Christians. That's a term that came about from Rome. We are of the Abrahamic faith and covenant because we are the original Hebrews. The Bible says in the book of Romans, the 6th chapter, that what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace can continue to abound? It says that grace may abound. So wait. So do we just keep sinning so grace can just keep staying there? So, okay, I see. What we do is let's just keep doing what we do so that we can just keep using the grace because we got a grace credit card. No limit. It's like a black card, right? I got you. And then the problem is, because your pastor and your preacher won't tell you the truth, you don't even understand what sin is. You think it's a pack of cigarettes? Drinking a glass of wine? And when you make these other mistakes, but sin is 1 John 3 and 4. Let me turn there. Sin is transgression of the law. And I'm just following the leading of the Holy Spirit because I didn't have a topic for today. Let me read this. Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is transgression of the law. 1 John 3 and 4, sin is transgression of the law. And since they took a Hebrew text and transliterated to Greek, what I'm going to do is give you the Greek meaning of transgression of the law. And if you look in the concordance, you'll see that that's number 458 in your Greek dictionary. And that translates into anomia. Anomia, that's 458. And it is a violation of law. It is wickedness. It is iniquity when you violate. How come it is that right now in your spirit, you keep saying, I don't have to do all that. Christ made me free. Do you know in the hour that we're living in, you should want to do everything possible to make sure you're on the right side? This is not the hour to do as least as possible, as less as possible, to say that's not necessary. You won't find yourself complicit with everything because Christ followed the Sabbath. He went to the temple. He did good on the Sabbath and healed and prayed for people. And you say you want to be just like Jesus and you won't keep the Sabbath. Christ didn't eat your pork and swine. He began to eat the clean foods and stay away from the unclean foods. When he came back and had risen from the dead and walked through the wall, he said, I'm hungry. He wanted fish and honeycomb. He didn't say, I like some baby back ribs, a half slab of ribs, some Dungeness crab, oh, and give me some scrimp. No, no, it's not what Christ asked for. Because he understood the things that the Father created in this ecosystem that has a task to be cleaners, to keep this ecosystem functioning. Your pigs are your natural garbage disposers. Your crabs and your shrimp and your catfish are bottom dwellers that eat the feces and dispose of the cleaner fish. When you eat this, you put these toxins in your body and destroy your temple. And the Father wants you to be strong because he made you in his image from the dust, the dirt. Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah, before you were formed in the belly, I knew thee. And when you look at formed in the Hebrew, that is the word Yashur. And Yashur means to sculpt you. And it's no wonder to me that Yashur means form, because he said, I formed man. And he formed our brother Christ, who is Yahushua. And he is Yahuwah. And Yashur is to form us. And why wouldn't you want to stay in the form and allow your temple to be holy by conforming to the statutes and laws and ways of the Most High that he gave us as a people to set us aside and put a mark on us that would keep the Gentiles from blaspheming God? Because when the Gentiles see that we don't keep, they do whatever we do anyway. They follow us, copy us, everything we do, they want to be like us. But when they see us blaspheming God, they call us the fools. When we don't follow his ways. So, I don't digress. I thank him for grace. I thank him for mercy. But it's there for the mistakes because of the ultimate sacrifice. Now, what happened in the New Testament, let me bring this up. You had a bunch of people that were trying to take people back to the Mosaic Law as far back as to even make sacrifices, making the acts of Christ null and void. They went so far with the law, they were telling all these Gentiles, you need to be circumcised, you need to start making sacrifices. They lost their minds. You want to know who those people are? Go back into the Between Testament series to see who they were. And this is why Apostle Paul began to come down on them. Paul's teachings don't refute Christ's teachings. They're synonymous. You just must be a learned disciple, not on milk, to understand Paul's teachings. Peter said that Paul's teachings are not for the unlearned, those not skillful in word. And the majority of you are not skillful in your word because you don't understand Isaiah. I want to say it's Isaiah 28. You don't even understand how to study the word. Make sure I'm in the right place. You don't understand how to study the word. It says in Isaiah 28, 9th chapter, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Hear it. Verse 10 says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Hear a little, meaning from one chapter to the next, from one verse to the next, from Old Testament to New Testament, and there a little. And I won't go into the 11th verse because people confuse that when it says with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. What he was saying is that at that time they were speaking Hebrew and they were prophesying that in the future they'd be speaking English, a language that wasn't even known at that time. Be speaking English and learning the word in Chinese and different other languages. So he said with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, his called out nation of people. So if you're still on milk, you're not going to understand Paul, which is that a lot of Christian churches are using to confuse the people and keep them in bondage and keep them locked in. And God is not the author of confusion, because as long as you're confused, you don't understand the book and don't want to read it and won't open it up and rely upon your pastor to explain it to you. And he's been paid to keep you lost. from ever coming into the knowledge of who you are as a people. But thanks be to the Father that he is waking his people up. And it's happening in two stages. And as his people begin to wake up, they will turn their hearts towards the east, and then there will be redemption, and he will come for his people and restore them back into the land. You're coming out of this darkness. Darkness in part has happened, yes, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and we're drawing nigh to that time. Prophecy is happening rapidly all around us. America's waking the sleeping giant by killing a sitting president that did nothing to them. It set the stage for World War III to begin. Ask me if I'm worried. My redemption draws nigh. So much in this earth, you wouldn't even understand it if you saw it. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come down having great wrath. He's here with you. You see him daily. Scripture says you entertain angels unaware. That doesn't just mean this angels are little babies with harps naked floating around. There are fallen angels in this society that come to deceive you, destroy you, that are working with Satan, with Beelzebub, to kill you and get you to walk away from the commandments, the word, and make a pact with Satan and sell out, just like he tried to get Jesus Christ, Yahushua HaMashiach, to do after his 40-day fast. He said, if you turn these bricks into stone, you can do it. He said, look upon all these kingdoms. I'll give you all this if you just worship me. And a lot of you have said, I'll worship you because I want to be famous. I want to be rich. I want to be a ruler. I want to run the show. I want to be a boss. And you did something to get that. Grace is to get you to turn back to a life of sacrifice where you don't lust and covet and desire and wish for these things. That's why they threw a prosperity gospel on you, to get all of you to sell out and put money on the altar towards corruption. You could have been giving that money to somebody who really needs it. The Bible says, such as ye have done to the least of them, you've done also unto me. And you bless them, you bless Messiah, you bless our Father, the Most High, whom a lot of you call God, but you like to say God with a capital G. Yeah, you're funny. He has a name, and his name is Yahuwah. And Yahuwah is the Ashar, Ahaya. Ashar Ahaya. He is the I am that I am. He exists, and he's always been existing. And you need to trust in him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Some of you need to just fall out on your face, worship him daily. We've always been a worshipful people, full of praise, whenever we're not lifted up in pride. Glory Mountain, this show is designed to put you in remembrance of Mount Sinai, where we got our Ten Commandments, also known as Mount Horeb, or the Mountain of Volcanoes. But that's where the glory was revealed. And when the glory came down, that's when we were given a way of life that would cause us to be holy, if we would comply. I ask you, and there's nothing wrong, to try for 1 week to keep the commandments. Abstain from these foods that violate the laws. Go into the book of Leviticus and read through it. And you tell me if it makes a difference in your life. I think a lot of most of the people don't want to let go of their religious spirit that they hold on to. And when they begin to come into truth, they begin to shake their heads and say, no, I can't deal with it. No, I'm going to stay right here. I don't want to deal with it. Because that religious spirit has such a strong hold on you, because you have to understand that Satan operates within religion because he created it. And he told you in Isaiah in the 14th chapter that he was going to create religion in so many words when he gave out his five-point plan. I will ascend into the heavens. I will sit upon the throne. I will be worshipped. And he knows that you're not done. He's going to make sure you come to a sanctuary on a day that is not the worship day and worship him in those false churches. Because he's hidden the truth from you. The only way you're going to know is by reading this word and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. And I guarantee that the Father will reveal it to you. And once you go down that rabbit hole, you can't turn around and go back to being complacent and saying, I'm just going to do what everybody else does. I know it's a tough walk, but see, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Everybody in the world is saying, I'm a Christian. And nobody's done the research to see what that is and what that means. So everybody in the world is going to heaven, right? Because you see the signs at the baseball game, God so loves the world, all of us, in all of our sins and everything we do, right? Wrong. He does not love you or your sin when you live in sin, and he does not love the whole world. The world he was talking about was the world of Israel, which he said in Psalms 148 and 14, world without end. World means a group of people, called out group of believers. The ecclesia is the world he's talking about. Those that will follow him and forsake their sinful ways, that don't say, I've got to have what the world has. You got to come out of Babylon. And I'm not going to talk about this fleeing today, because I ain't talking about going to get your passport and go to another country. Those Negroes are crazy. Walking around here looking like Osama bin Laden, won't comb their hair, shave their beard, and tell them I'll get a passport and go somewhere, and they don't know where to go. Bible didn't tell you where to go or when to go, so why are you going and where are you going? Ridiculous. I'm not going to deal with that today. I'm going to deal with that later in the week. Flee Babylon. Come out of the system. We will have an Antichrist that will rise up out of Islam, but that system is Babylon, which is the Vatican Church that has influenced the whole world. Every church is tied into that Vatican Church, the Catholic ways. Every Protestant, they all, that is the mother, and they all come out of that. As long as you 501c3 compliant, sitting up in these, even in these Pentecostal churches with them collars on and them crosses, you look like one of them pontiff popes. No difference. Anyway, I'm not on a tirade today. I just need to speak some truth as to where we are and encourage some people that are going through to let them know that it's never too late to come back to the Father. It's never too late to live according to his word. Brothers and sisters, we got some people that are out there in these street corners and saying that I'm Hebrew, I'm this and that, and they don't have a relationship with our Father. You know what? They couldn't even, they don't have no power to cast demons out of people. When people came to Christ, our brothers, they didn't leave the same way they came. They came to him, and he made sure they didn't leave the same way. And then check this out. He'll go to a wedding and also provide wine. So you're going to tell me he doesn't want you to enjoy your life? Of course he does, because he's the bread of life, and he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But some of you brothers are going to have to learn to present your body as a sacrifice and become holy and acceptable. And when some of these people in the world see you and how you conduct yourself, they're like, I don't have no part for that. We got to learn to be like our brother Messiah, all powerful, because he's coming back to tear things up, and he's looking for soldiers. Soldiers that know how to discipline them their lives and are willing to stand and not give in to society and the rest of this world. I want y'all to know that you can make it and that I love you and that I'll be talking to you some more. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. As I say, and as we always say here, that truth, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think you already have it. Because truth is a journey. It's not a destination, so you haven't arrived. And if you're not willing to still learn, then you'll be stuck. So until next time, brothers and sisters, I just want to say to you, Shabbat Shalom. Yeah.
I think